This is Caregiver's Compass, an uplifting podcast all about the ins and outs of caregiving for a loved one. Tips, tricks, true stories, and experts. It's all here on Caregiver's Compass. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Caregiver's Compass. My name is Stephanie Muscat. I am a registered social worker and psychotherapist. Please note that this episode is not the act of psychotherapy. So today on the podcast, we have Laura Smothers Chu. She is the CEO and founder of Befriended Heart, and she helps long-distance daughters navigate their parents' dementia. She's a certified senior advisor and a certified dementia practitioner. She has over 10 years of experience in healthcare, and she was also a long-distance daughter of dementia. Laura enjoys guiding daughters and managing stress on the dementia journey, and she hosts a YouTube channel called Joy in Dementia and is quite active on Instagram. She currently lives in Washington, D.C. with her husband, her rescue dog, and cat, and she enjoys living in the moment and discovering joy whenever possible. So welcome, Laura. It's so great to have you here.
Thanks so much, Stephanie, for inviting me.
Laura and I have been talking back and forth for a while, and we realized that we have a lot in common, and it's been really, really great to get to know you and see all of the commonalities between us and our journeys and everything that's going on. And I think what you're doing is really unique because you're targeting such a specific group that is not really targeted in general. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about how you got into targeting this specific group of daughters and what that means to you overall.
Absolutely. So this is one of my favorite questions because I'm so passionate about it. I was 28 when my dad was diagnosed with mild cognitive impairment, and I was an only child. My mom wasn't ready to accept the diagnosis for about the first 3 years. So it really fell to me. And living 3.5 hours away, a drive, I was trying to look for resources, and I couldn't really find anything that was specific to long distance daughters. And what I found, surprisingly, and you know, to my chagrin, was that many of these dementia websites were advising long distance daughters or sons to kind of stay out of it, like in a nice way, right? I'm like, you know, how is that helpful, right? Like I get the fact, especially now that I've been through the journey, that it can be really hard on primary caregivers or, you know, the caregiving spouse, caregiving parent in my case, when I'm making suggestions where I'm like, oh, you know, and it can come across as I know better. And I think now when I look back at it, there were times that I would make suggestions and I wasn't very compassionate about it, right? And so I think it's because we have a different perspective living from long distance. But, you know, I totally get that. But I feel like it's important that we, the healthcare industry, empower long distance daughters and sons because we actually have an advantage. And I don't think that that's spoken to very much. And I saw that in my own experience because I had no choice. I wasn't about to move 3.5 hours and, you know, live with my parents because that just wasn't in the cards for me, for my career, for my life. And so I figured out a way to help them from long distance. And so a couple of the advantages I talk about is sort of that we have sort of the bird's eye perspective, right? And I'm sure that any long distance daughters or sons that are listening to this know what I'm talking about because we're not with, you know, person with dementia every day. And so we're not adapting on a daily basis. I think that's a natural human thing to do. And I noticed that would happen with my mom, the daughters that I work with. I hear that that happens with their caregiving parents as well. And so they just don't pick up on these things, these losses or these changes that are happening because they're just trying to survive day to day. And so I find that there is so much value in really empowering these long distance daughters and sons, especially to not only take the burden off of the caregiving parent as far as, you know, long-term planning, trying to think about financial implications, things like that. Like my mom understandably couldn't even wrap her head around those things because she's just trying to manage the loss of her spouse, you know, that she's been with for 50 years, right? So I feel like this is the solution. I don't know why no one else is doing this. And so, you know, really trying to take advantage of the fact that we live long distance, but we also can research. We have some extra time, more so than the primary caregiver. So I feel like it not only takes the burden off of our caregiving parent, but in that sense, it also benefits our forgetful parent, the person with dementia, right? Because, you know, our caregiving parent isn't as stressed, which then doesn't, you know, our forgetful parent doesn't absorb all that stress, right? So to me, it's just like, why is no one else doing this? And I still find that I'm the only one that targets, you know, long distance daughters from a lot of colleagues that I've spoken with in the dementia field internationally, right? So that just blows my mind. And it just makes me feel like, okay, there's definitely a need here. I'm definitely doing the right thing. And I'm filling this gap that no one else is filling right now.
And I'm really glad you tapped into that niche because it's so interesting how you look at that. And I think you're absolutely right. I think, you know, we spoke about the fact that I was distant, not 3 hours, but I was around an hour, an hour and a half distant. And I find it, you should have seen my face when you said that the article said, you know, stay out of it, because I feel like there was this extra added layer of burden. And I'm not sure if you see this with your clients, but I was so stressed from being so removed from the situation. I felt so helpless. And I was worried that much more because I felt this like false sense of control being around, but at least I was there. And you can't really just ask someone that loves someone else to stay out of it. But knowing what the primary caregivers are going through as well. And I think you and I, it's interesting because I happen to be a primary caregiver in a distance setting. But at the same time, if there are other siblings or a spouse, like you said, your mom, that are there and they are, you know, just by themselves and you're being told to stay out of it at a distance, who's there to support them? So
exactly.
I think what you're doing is so important and so neat. And I think that you're really tapping into this area that you're right. No one else is tapping into. And it's such a great area. And it's so interesting to me because I think about it sometimes and I never really thought of myself as a distance daughter, but that's what I was for a really long time. And that's what a lot of people are.
Absolutely. And that's the emotional disconnection that we feel because we're not living with our forgetful parent. And it's interesting that you say that, you know, you lived less than 3 hours away, because again, a way that I am making a path that's separate from what the healthcare industry is saying now, right? Like they categorize long distance as 2 hours away. I forget what their threshold is. But for me, my definition is if you're not living with your parents, right? So it could be 15 minutes away. It could be, you know, because regardless of how far away we feel, that emotional disconnect is still there. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important to point that out in how I define it versus the rest of the healthcare industry, because we all experience that guilt for not being there and that emotional disconnection. And of course, the helplessness, right? Because like, there's no one giving us guidance on how to help, right? And what to do in this case. So
you're right. Sure. And especially if you're living in a large city, if you are technically 15 minutes away, I mean, yesterday I went to go pick up my kids from school and daycare and what would normally take me 10 minutes took me an hour and a half. So like, yes, but there are limits and there are, you know, traffic barriers and other barriers mm-hmm. involved, and, you know, time can actually be that much farther. So relative distance only means so much. What is it that you provide to your clients? If people are wondering, you know, I am a distance daughter, what can Laura give me?
Absolutely. So I have a few different things that I've just started offering this year. I know you mentioned that I have the YouTube channel, so that's some really great free content. I have also, if you're wanting to get deeper into things, I have just launched specific guides for certain professionals that if you're looking for, so how to choose and vet a geriatrician, or a financial advisor or an elder law attorney or a home care agency. So those are the four things that I really recommend that you look into first. That's again, something that long distance daughters and sons can help with researching and that type of thing. And to really support not only our forgetful parent, but also our caregiving parent, because it's so important that, especially if, you know, our caregiving parents are overwhelmed, regardless of what they tell you, right? Because this is hard. This is really hard. And they feel that, you know, they made their vows and they're supposed to be there, but they need that support. And because we can't be there on a daily basis, we can help provide that support by really, really vetting these professionals, and that our parents don't have time or, you know, really like mental capacity in the sense that they're emotionally burdened in order to do. And so that's something that I talk about that long distance daughters and sons can do. So I have those guides there. As of right now, they're $25 each. I also have one that's joint altogether. So if you have no professionals that you're working with, you can get that one. I have a course right now all about mid-stage dementia. I plan to release courses in the future for early stage and late stage. And finally, the last thing is if you really want some, you know, one-to-one professional dementia guidance, I provide that. People can sign up for the Zoom calls with me. So great. All of those things. And my goal is really to create content that anyone can access, you know, at different income levels, because I think it's really important since no one else is doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's so useful, especially talking in more detail about the educational component of what does a stage look like, or what is this, especially if you're at a distance, you're not able to attend appointments, for example, or you don't really know what's going on because you're not in the days in, days out of what's going on. You can educate yourself and know what that may look like, or what someone might be going through that is closer to your parent. I'm curious also, because I usually work with primary caregivers in my work, and a lot of the caregivers that I speak to will talk about their family members who are at a distance caregiving with some hostility and anger. But I'm wondering if you're finding your clients that are distant, are they feeling misunderstood and even just guilty, and also not sure how to grapple with the relationships because it's not their fault that they're far away?
Yes, all of those things. So what I actually talk about this in my course, and I would offer it one-to-one support depending on what the daughter needs, but really trying to look at those relationships. And I think it really does help to have guidance that long distance daughters and sons can say, like, hey, I can help with this. Like, do you think that would, right? Because I think what I struggled with was that my mom was so overwhelmed on a day-to-day basis. And I know this happens with a lot of primary caregivers, right? Because we're human, and I totally get that. But like, they just don't even know where to start in telling us how we can help, right? So it's like, they're stuck. We're stuck. And it's like, who's building this bridge, right? Like, how is this going to be built? And so I really feel like the fact that long distance daughters and sons can offer that and say, like, hey, maybe I can help with this. Does that sound good? Right. Because then the primary caregiver is like, oh, they actually do want to help, you know? And there are some cases where, yeah, there are some, you know, long distance siblings that don't want to have anything to do with it. Right. But what I'm trying to do is really engage the ones that are compassionate and really do want to be involved, but just like have no idea what to do. And that's what I try to create my guidance around, is like, hey, this is exactly what I did in my personal experience. And, you know, combining my professional experience and all the resources and the people that I talked to when I was on my journey, and really trying to share that with everyone.
That is such an interesting perspective. I like to be able to see both of those and to compare what my clients are going through with what your clients are going through, because it's such a different observation, and it's no fault of anybody's really that's the situation that they're in. I did also want to talk because we do relate a lot in the sense that we've both had a lot of loss. We're both only children and we both want families. So I know that you're going through your own journey with infertility and trying to have a baby. And I wanted to talk about this as well, because I think there is this conception that once you've been a caregiver and it's over, you know, that's it. And you move forward and your life is full of abundance and your life is full of plenty of people and never feeling grief and whatever, but that's not the truth. I just want to highlight, you know, what things may look like, you know, in a typical life, because life is full of ups and downs. So how long have you been trying to have a baby?
I would say probably more than 3 years now. And I actually started the infertility journey when my dad was in mid-stage dementia. So talk about like extra stress, extra grief, extra loss. And we really struggled. I mean, I had a miscarriage at 10 weeks. Then we tried, you know, scientific assistance. I had 3 IUIs, which failed. I had ended up having 4 IVFs, which failed. So talk about, you know, and constant loss, right? So lots of hormones, all the injections, a lot of stuff happening. My dad actually passed away January 2020. So, and it just so happens that I decided after a lot of self-reflection that I wanted to work with an egg donor. And so luckily we've gotten some great news lately, which I've shared with you, Stephanie. And we have our transfer on December 1st, so it's coming up quite soon. But yeah, I mean, I think it's so important that I'm transparent on this journey as well, because, you know, you wouldn't think so, but I've seen so many parallels between how healthcare handles people with dementia and how healthcare handles people with infertility. I don't like to say infertility. I like to say fertility, but yeah. So I think it's stigmatized. I think that there's not enough resources out there. I think that people don't talk about it enough. So that's why I talk about it. And I think it's really important too. But yeah, it was really hard to go through those two things at once, the dementia and fertility journey. And so, I mean, definitely I was going to therapy like once a week. I started practicing mindfulness, of course, exercise. I was taking anxiety medication, like totally open about that. And I think it was really helpful that I was hiring professionals to help my parents because I couldn't be there, especially because I was going to all these appointments, right? So all of those things. And yeah, and I think too, another thing that I've noticed, the parallel between the fertility journey and the dementia journey, is that it's so important to advocate your, you know, ask for second opinions, all of that type of stuff. So you can help, you know, you can do that yourself on the fertility journey, but you can also help your parents on the dementia journey with that. Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank you for being so open to your community about this and to my community about this. I apologize for using that term. I know everybody's.
Oh, no, that's fine. Okay. No, I mean, yeah, no, you're but fine.
I just want to say that, you know, because I want to be sensitive to that. You know, it's not something that I've experienced. I'm an IVF baby. Like my mom had me through IVF. So I do know.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I do know a lot about IVF, and a lot of my friends have gone through all types of treatments, and you know, my heart goes out to you, but at the same time, and we've talked about this, I have such good feelings, and I really have just such a good feeling about this. And I just think it's so important that you're open and also showing people what the reality can look like in life in general, right? Life is not all flowers and rainbows, especially right after something quote unquote ends. You're dealing with other things. And just the same thing, if someone's not dealing with caregiving, they're dealing with their own other things. And if someone's not dealing with other things, they're dealing with caregiving, and maybe it's both, but that's okay. And yeah, that's what you're showing people and normalizing. And it's so important.
Yeah. And I think that's why it's so important to have that support system in place, right? Like I kind of call it like your love team, right? Like a therapist and, you know, these different tools that you can have, because there are going to, it's going to be a roller coaster, whether, I mean, definitely when you're on the dementia journey and when you're on the fertility journey. So it's always good to have that support system in place, because there are going to be lows even after, you know, your forgetful parent passes away, right? Because we all are living life. But yeah, I can't stress that enough.
Yeah. And you must also still be dealing with the grief over your dad, even
totally.
You know, he's not here. You're dealing with that. You're dealing with the grief about the fertility process and, you know, all the losses and the stress. And you're going through a lot mentally and physically, and it's okay to acknowledge that and be open to that, which you do very well. So I'd like to thank you.
Thank you.
I'm glad that, you know, some people are becoming more open about all of that, because I think it's so normalized in pop culture that, you know, oh my gosh, we had intercourse one night and then we had a baby and it happened over and over again. Like, that's not the reality for so many people out there. And I just think people need to know that what they're going through is pretty common and can be normal. And that the flip side is actually less common and less normal. So, and that's what I see around me all the time, but people don't acknowledge it. But I see it, you know, behind closed doors, and you're being open about that. So thank you for that.
Sure. And I also understand, because I've had, since I've been very open about it on Instagram, I've had women reach out to me, especially ones that are caregiving for their parents, you know, and they want to start a family. And they said, you know, I'm not really, I wish I could be like you and share my story, but I'm not ready. And I said, you know what? That's totally fine. This is your story, right? But yeah. I'm happy. I'm trying to do my best to express their voices, even though they're not, you know, they're not comfortable speaking, but I definitely am. So I'm really honored to take that role for people. Yeah.
You do such a good job at that. You really do. How can people find you, Laura, and follow your journey and everything else that you're doing for Dementia Daughters?
Yeah. So I would say I am most active on Instagram. So joy.in.dementia. And I think that Stephanie will put a link in there in the description. And two, I wanted to mention, because you spoke to the stages and I said, oh, that's perfect because I have a free guide that I've released and I've had so much interest in it just for the past month that I've released it. So if you go to my website, joyindementia, all one word, .com, you can grab my free guide, which is all about the stages. So I split them into early, mid, and late. I talk about the most common symptoms, and I also give you a tip on what to do that I've done in my life for that particular stage. So it's super helpful for people. I think people have also said it's great. Like, they'll share it with their siblings, and also that they love the checklist because, you know, common symptoms of each stage, because they can easily share that with their forgetful parents doctor and say, hey, I'm noticing this, this, and this. So it's really helpful when you're advocating for your parent when you're long distance.
That's fantastic. And the stages, is it based off of like a North American diagnosis?
You know, that's a good question. I think so.
Okay.
Because so I think other structure is like seven stages, but I just feel like that was just way too confusing for me when I was going through the personal experience. I was like, let's just do early, mid, and late. I think it's much more straightforward, but that's a good question. I am pretty sure it's North American.
I think so too, but I sometimes hear all sorts of different things, and like, I try to state where someone's coming from, like culturally, but also, you know, origin wise, because I know different countries look at different things. So that's why I asked, like, who would this be for? But Laura, thank you so much. I think you're such an important contributor to this entire community and to everybody who's going through this. And it's been such a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. And you're doing great work too. So thank you so much for inviting me.
Thanks for listening to Caregiver's Compass. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review. Your ratings and reviews help more people like you find our podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share this episode with someone you think would love it. I'm Stephanie Muscat. Have an uplifting day, and I'll see you next time.